Welcome to another episode of Fuck You Dad, everybody. This week we got another very funny Chicago comedian, Beckett Kenny. Beckett, how you doing?
Hello, good. How are you guys?
Great.
Fantastic. Yeah, thanks for doing it.
Yeah, I'm excited. Did I just get super high right as the podcast started?
Yeah, well, that's,
I think you did.
I'm talking a lot right now.
I think Nick tricked you a little bit.
Yeah, I know better. Yeah,
every time Nick's like, you want to smoke a bowl? I say no, because I have a podcast to do, and I can't be staring out the window thinking about my dead dog for 30 minutes.
It's so goddamn hard for me to turn down free weed.
It's a hard thing as an adult to turn down free drugs. I feel like it's a moral responsibility to do them when I'm offered.
Right. Well,
weed, I've had to realize if I have to be funny or entertaining or really human being at all, I cannot smoke weed.
That's true, but I'm telling you what, I'm turning it on right goddamn now.
Yeah, you're turning
it on.
And
I'm turning it on, and this is going to be a great night. I'm going to fucking kill this podcast, okay? Don't even fucking worry about it, okay? I can be high as fuck.
Yeah,
I can be goddamn drooling on the floor, throwing up.
I wasn't worried about it until right now. Now I am a little worried about it.
It's like the guy defusing the bomb, like, I know how to do this shit. I know how to defuse a bomb. You don't think I know how to defuse a bomb?
It's like if you're driving your car, and you're like, I totally got this. And you're like, oh, I assume so. Oh, yeah, this will be fine. Well, I thought, pull over.
Yeah. Like,
how much are you guys turning to camera? Because I constantly want to do it.
Turn to camera. Okay. You should do like a thing like, and then my dad did, dun, dun, dun. You know, camera. That's fun.
Honey, oh, you know I'm all about the dramatics.
Blocking. Oh, we know.
It's all blocking. Have you heard?
That you're dramatic?
Yeah, have you heard that?
I have heard it, and I've seen it.
Yeah, we've seen it live.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, give it to me.
Have you ever gotten to a physical fight? Because I would love to see you get into a physical
fight. No, but I have a secret desire to. And there's a part of me that really, it's whenever the moment comes where it could happen, I obviously chicken out and immediately eat shit and backtrack.
Oh, I mean, same here. I have that, but there's definitely a part of me that really wants to hand
part
to somebody
of me
in
that
a
wants to fight.
Yeah.
And me and Kenyon both do this thing where we talk about somebody or something where we want to hit somebody and we hit our own hand really hard and then laugh. But we would never actually punch anybody.
We're complete cowards. That's the word. But I mean,
mimed it out.
But
I have
mimed out beating a man. And real, you can tell it's a real emotion I have. But I'm not going to actually fight to take someone down in a dive bar.
I know, but I have that desire too.
Fight in me. And you know what? Even when here's where it does come out is aggressively in speech. I get
I really dish it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But boy, can I not take it. I'm afraid of doing roast shows. I've only done the character assassination roast at Laugh Factory and been a judge once of a roast show. But I'm afraid of doing them because I know I can't take it.
At least you know your own limits.
I love writing roast jokes, but it's like, it's not worth it.
What if you got one for me and Nick?
They hurt me so... No. I don't... I definitely haven't written one for you guys.
You know, you got nothing off the dome.
No, I don't have anything. I really don't have anything.
Really?
I'm sorry. Fuck.
I just
think
I love writing roast jokes. I just thought you just had you're like, I got five on everybody.
No. Not that I'd say on your podcast, but. No, I don't have. God, and now I can't think of any. But I just like to do it. Like,
no,
I like
roast
to do it for
jokes
character
are
assassination.
Super fun. They're super fun.
And, but it's like. I can't take it. I know I will be crying that night. I know it will come up in my brain.
The only time for me is
for
when
years.
I lost to someone who I genuinely don't respect comedically, and that really hit me for about a couple days, about a week and a half.
Yeah, when you lose to somebody who you really deep down like don't like, that will suck.
I was afraid to show my face to like my friends. Like I thought I was gonna have to enter like witness protection and like start a new life. I was like, this is end.
I've seen it happen several times because I used to work the Laugh Factory roast show, so it's like I would pay a little attention every time. You know what I mean? Because this is when juicy shit can come out. You know what I mean?
Especially like I don't know, like when I if I roast somebody, just it's like I'm going hard.
Yeah.
You
gotta do it.
You're aiming for the soul.
You gotta do it.
That's not what's wrong. I hate the, he looks like this. I'm like, no. This is what's wrong with him, fundamentally as a human. This is why he sucks, like, on a cellular level.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I'm trying to
do. Yeah, you can't just kill the body. You gotta kill the soul.
That's
the roast.
You go zombie on the roast.
Absolutely.
You kill the head.
Absolutely.
Yes. Go for the headshot.
Yeah. No limbs.
Yeah.
But I like being a judge more. I think being a judge
is it's a funner
way
role.
Better.
You're out of the game and you get to kind of sit there and be like, I'm kind of the fun veteran.
Yeah.
I think, though, I was the only one who, I went hard as a judge of a roast show.
Well, of course, because nobody's really roasting you.
Because there's no stakes.
Yeah.
No stakes, but you can still, like, you want to, like, roast.
Unless,
but
unless someone's really good and can write jokes, like, on the spot like that and goes up and does, like, a couple minutes on the judges.
That'd
I mean, unless that happens. I mean, the thing about roasting is it does. I remember I roasted Mark McPartland. This is back in North Carolina.
God bless.
And we're like best buds. And I don't remember. I barely remember a single joke I wrote about him, but I remember a lot of them that he wrote about me because they hurt my feelings.
Of course. Yeah, those never leave you, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's something that you got tattooed on your heart.
Mark goes, Nick's dad's British, and Nick is... Did I drop my lighter?
Yep.
That's okay. That's what that noise was, gang.
That might have been me dropping that lighter. It felt like it came from me, but...
That was you, but...
Now it sounds like a Lil Wayne song.
Yeah.
That's what that deserves.
I got it.
I don't know Lil Wayne well enough.
I
won't interrupt with Lil Wayne.
It's going to bomb so bad now.
Okay, give it to me.
Got prepped, but Mark went, Nick's dad is British, and Nick is just as thirsty as the African countries that Britain colonized. It was something like that.
Well, I'm glad you repeated it all for us to enjoy and share.
Anyway,
Beckett.
It hurt real bad.
So how do your parents, in particular your dad, feel about you doing comedy?
You know, they both actually support it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is
like,
interesting.
We didn't support the rest
of
your life, but we do support this.
Well, my mom has kind of left my fan club a little bit as I've gotten older, and
interesting.
I told my parents, they used to come to every show when
really?
I was in Peoria.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
They were really
that was
committed.
A big deal. So how did that feel?
Good, but I feel like I was in competitive speech as like a high schooler, so I won this really big. Okay, calm down, guys. Okay, stop throwing your like Oscars at me.
Yeah.
Everyone, pull your trousers up, baby. Zip it.
Trousers up.
Yeah. No, stop jacking it to me at home right now.
It's a lot.
I did win a state title in speech, which for Peoria, Illinois,
is a big deal.
Is a huge
deal. You were fucking
deal.
Home team.
Because all the Chicago people win.
Right,
they always win.
But you were a small town boy. The world's working against you.
And truly, I was the only one from my region and section that broke into the finals of state. So part of the reason I won is because every single person from anywhere near me came into that room and was like laughing hard as fuck and completely making the other people bomb because it was like, we're not going to go home with nothing tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was.
So you were the people's champ.
I was the people's Bebbles champ. That's how I feel.
Kenny, the people's champ.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
And so that you're like, I'm used to being a hometown champion, people supporting me. So if my parents want to come see my comedy, that just makes sense. I'm practically a deity.
God bless America. God bless America. And that's exactly what I was saying. I'm so glad you got it. I felt like that pillow was so hot up my shirt right now. Okay, this is where the highs peak and end.
Yeah.
But we got to get back. What were you just talking about? Because I had something real to say about it.
Your parents are coming out to every show.
They're
very
supportive. Every show seems like too much.
Every show seems like way too much.
Yeah.
It is way too much.
I have a panic attack, dude.
You know when you bring... When you've seen those open micers who bring a girlfriend to every goddamn show.
And
it's so sociopathic.
Yeah.
But I mean, after a while, when I start getting booked consistently, it stopped. But, they were very supportive, but like it was a competitive thing almost, because that's how speech was, and my parents were very supportive of me.
But they wanted you to like crush everybody else.
Yeah, it was a little competitive. For, like,
so you know, if they're like, that was a good set, but somebody else did better.
Yeah, yeah, I would have known that.
Oh my god! Like your dad saw it on the ride home. He's like, "Hacks can walk home, buddy."
And then you're like, "Dad, okay. Yeah, that's the headliner."
Yeah. Well, he's been on Conan. Why can't you do that? Yeah. Like, I just started 3 months ago.
This is a big deal.
All I hear is excuses and no punchlines from the kid.
I came back from Chicago very dirty and very like more adult than I was in Illinois. Like I was pretty clean fairly in Illinois, if I'm being honest. Like and I've become
But
very,
you're living in the big city.
You're living in the big city.
City of sin. You're hanging out at the Laugh Factory. Yes. Nothing wholesome happens.
No,
there.
Nothing wholesome happens here.
Yeah.
The amount of my friends who do an insane amount of drugs
the amount
around
of
me
casual
all the
cocaine
time,
that happens in Chicago.
Casual
is,
cocaine yo,
is like someone offering you a cup of coffee. Truly. Not even, yeah.
I've gotten
like
offered Coke way more than a cup of coffee because people don't actually offer you a cup.
Yeah, well, it doesn't happen a lot.
I guess that's not true. I guess I'm not at people's houses that much in the morning.
No. We're only at them at midnight. We're only at them at midnight, like randomly, and you're drunk,
people
and you're like,
offer
yeah.
You drugs if they think you're cool. People offer you coffee if they're trying to fuck you. I think that's pretty much the guideline.
I think no. Who's trying to offer you coffee? You're
that's
trying to
like
fuck
a
you.
Date. Like a date. Like oh, let's.
I've
go
never
get coffee.
Coffee dates are dumb. I've never been on one in my life, and I don't get it. Because I'm already an anxious person. It's not like, let's sit around, sip anxious juice. I'm trying to be my best self.
It's not the best. I agree. It's not
4
the
4 o'clock
place.
In the afternoon. Hey, I want to go shit after this. You feel a connection here?
Yeah. The fact that you said that, I fucking hate coffee. You know what? I drink it every day still. I don't know what
I'm an
the
anxious
fuck it is.
I can't drink coffee because,
it makes me feel.
I'll shake in fear.
I don't drink it every day, but I do drink it probably twice a week randomly. It's because of the social image that has been created around coffee.
It tastes good. It's great, but it's like.
I love the idea of holding a coffee and being like, I'm busy. You know what I mean? Oh. Like, I love.
You're walking around drinking a coffee. You're like, I'm on the way to tackle my demons. You know, I mean,
dude,
it's going
if
down.
If I have a full cup of coffee, I skip breakfast and go insane until about 2 p.m. And then I come back down.
No,
like, I go on a full trip.
I'm psycho
on
coffee.
It's crazy.
Psycho on coffee.
I've had like full blown just panic. Like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah, dude,
who am I? Like, I can't
ass.
Handle it anymore. The thing is, I can't go to sleep with my thoughts. No caffeine. The organic anxiety I have is so like just well grown that if you sprinkle some fire on this, it's like I'm fucked.
Bada bing. Bada bing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what makes you stay in your cubicle.
Yeah. You know? No, it's you're the like- juice. It's the, you throw it on the machine, but. So was your dad always kind of like, he was like a competitive dad? He was kind of trying
my
to
My dad people. Wasn't like that. That's a little more my mom. When I really, my mom's more the like competitive, like, you know.
And your dad's just chill.
My dad's super chill. My dad got like a knee replacement long before the pandemic and had to stay home for months or something.
Yeah.
And it was like, he did not give a fuck that he was
like,
not
I'm
at work.
A great
he, did, he was doing absolutely nothing, watching the TV, walking the dogs every once in a while.
He's like, this is my best life.
Exercise. Yeah. He loved that. That's like, my dad's more simple.
But see, that's the best
no,
way
but
to look.
I'm not saying that like, my dad's very intelligent and he's like a great guy and he's like,
but I
he
but just be, someone who's just happy
but he
watching
just is
TV
happy
and walking some
in,
dogs.
Like in that simplicity.
Yeah.
And like going out
and your mom's
to the bar
like,
every
why,
once
who are, why aren't you walking on the corpses of your enemies?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, that's 100% true.
And that's why maybe your dad wants to stay at home all the time. You know. He's like, sweet, you know, I really love the house. It's nice and empty. It's just me and the dogs.
Yeah.
I love the simplicity, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody asking why I haven't done this with anything with my life or why I'm not manager yet. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just me and the TV, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, though.
The TV's right. Happy with me.
God bless America. Yeah. That's the American way.
Yeah.
The TV's happy with me. The TV's happy with me. That's where we
that
find
so
our
much
love.
Of my childhood of like, well, this show doesn't judge me.
Yeah, when I watch like a TV show on an actual TV in a comfy setting, all of a sudden I'm like, this is so warm.
Weirdly,
like that feels like a blanket.
Weirdly, dude, commercials feel good right
now.
Oh,
like, commercials do feel good actually to me too.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to get on this train. No.
Yeah.
No. I'm not talking about Hulu commercials where you watch the same one repeatedly over and over and it's like a Chinese water torture thing. Like a psychological nightmare.
Yeah,
I'm talking about good old-fashioned cable, like old people chair that goes up the stairs kind of commercials.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of weed and watch a commercial, Ken.
I'm sure
you'll enjoy it.
I'm sure they're a good time.
I'm
a little
telling you, dude, it's fantastic TV right now. I will watch, also on YouTube, if you go down, if you just look up like early 2000s commercials, and you get like that nostalgia juice going.
Totally.
Because you'll just see a commercial. You won't even remember the product. Just the like Polly Pocket. I forgot about Polly Pocket. And then you see a commercial and you go, oh, fuck, Polly Pocket. And there's like fucking...
Fine, I'll sing it. No. Polly in my pocket, I'll put her everywhere.
I knew you were going to sing at least once. Yeah.
It's impossible for me not to. I do love singing. I was singing today at my workplace as a dental receptionist at the desk. That's just fun. Among my...
God, you're the beam of light at the workplace.
This mom was obsessed with me today. We don't have to get into it. But a guy was like, you're a really good singer. You know, if you ever want to quit this, like, maybe you could pursue that.
And I said, this is my dream.
This is my dream. I've always wanted to do this.
Oh, and did that just get a huge laugh?
Oh, I killed.
Yeah.
I killed.
Yeah, great.
That dad, he was closing the glass door, and then he, like, I didn't hear the laugh, but I saw him bend back as I said that joke and go, like,
boy, aren't we sad little creatures that live for that. Yeah. But, but
dude, it is my biggest high. It is insane how thrilling.
It's quite sad how much I enjoy making people laugh to the point where, yeah.
In fact, I kind of need it in a weird way.
Oh, I need it quite a bit, but we don't need to get into that. But it says the man holding the microphone in front of an iPhone camera as he tries to monetize just a conversation with a friend. But so how are your parents? So you live in a small town.
Okay, so here's something that I have to say is sometimes I say it as a small town on stage,
it's a larger town.
Yes, even if I don't say it though, and people hear Peoria, they assume it's a small
town.
But
it's not a small town.
It's not a small town. It's not a big town. It's like 100 and something thousand.
But that's a good amount of people.
That's a good amount of people. It's urban. It's urban.
It's an urban center. For
yes,
sure.
Yes. Okay. It is not. It's not like
you didn't
a
live
small
in like
town.
A thousand people.
Well, no, but on the weekends I would live with my grandparents who lived in a town of 200, and then
that's a small town.
So I do understand.
You do understand.
Yeah, it's not like I'm talking from a place of like. Oh, like, this is what a small town is. This place, 100,000 people, I moved to Chicago, and that's a small town. No, it's like, I know what a small town is.
Right,
I know
right.
what that experience is.
So how's the
is
experience
like.
with your grandparents compared to your parents?
I tell this joke on stage all the time, so I hate to tell it here.
Well,
but
I did
come out to my grandparents. I was sitting in the back of their truck, and... It was my
That's
grandma
never
and my
a good
grandpa.
Place to come out.
Right. No, and it's like right. it's like, That's oh god, a truck
is gonna be blowing someone there.
I was like, thank God, a safe space for queer people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like
a pickup truck.
And I
love you're in a pickup truck. You're like, sweet, yeah, this reminds me of just forgiveness and acceptance. nothing screams tolerance like a pickup truck.
That pickup truck, I actually had to drive this summer because I was living home, and I would go to cosmetology school in that beat up pickup truck that I came out of the closet.
Boy, is that an indie movie. Yeah. Gay man back in a small town going to cosmetology school in a pickup truck.
I can literally see Beckett pulling up and then A24 flashing. Yeah.
He's got to navigate three different worlds at once. He's trying to cut the hair and the hate out of this town. It's fucking.
Oh my god! Oh fuck! That's so funny. Yes. No. That was my life this summer. And
award-winning screenplay is what that is.
Everyone was asking, are the overalls like ironic or is he
yeah,
just
is that,
rocking?
Is
them?
He? Yeah. And he's like, to be honest, I don't know myself.
This is this is how psycho my perception of reality is. That okay. I sometimes will think about myself and the way I act in general and in private, and I go, God, if there was an actor playing you, they'd win an Oscar for this. I'm like, you're so goddamn nuanced. Yeah. That's an insane way to think about yourself because
you're right. Like, yeah, no, that is narcissism.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
you nailed it on the head.
Yeah,
that
no, it's dark. It's dark. Yeah. It's dark. It's crazy.
If I thought of myself as an actor killing my role, I'd be like, get another role.
Right.
I'm like, this
right,
is
right.
too hard of a role.
No, it's very
you
dark.
Definitely
it's
met people and thought, like, well, I'm way more interesting than this person.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think that's rude. I don't think that's rude. I think that sometimes it's just objectively true. That's objectively true for a lot of people.
But that person usually is in a, like, you know what I mean? They're making a lot of money doing something.
Oh, my God. Well, that's the what's been hard at my job recently is it's like I so many people back do not make do not get my jokes. My boss said on Wednesday night that like I don't get how you could be funny. I'd have to see you on stage because I can't imagine. And I kill with the customers when I make jokes, and I kill with the girls.
Well, it's hard that somebody that has power over you to make them laugh because
You're scared of
them. Every conversation is very awkward and like, what do you want me to do?
Exactly. I can't be.
A lot of me being funny is being very bluntly honest about how I
feel. Yeah.
I was honest about how I feel. I hate this job. I hate you. I hate the fact that I have to do it.
100%.
So I can't be honest with my boss. If I was super honest, I'd be stealing his car and fucking his wife. You know what I mean?
God bless America.
Yeah.
I've always said that.
Yeah.
I've always said that verbatim. Verbatim what you said. Yeah. I've always said that. That was my catchphrase for a long time. Yeah. You can see me with that on lunchboxes. It's hard. It's hard. But then I wore my pants inside out one day. Hooting and hollering.
Oh, right.
Oh, hooting and hollering. Right. Oh, they were having such a good time. That was the funniest shit in the world that I'd wore my pants on inside out. I was like, I don't care that you're laughing, but why the fuck?
Yeah, you're just.
How is it this funny?
You're just personally disturbed.
Yeah. The best that could get out of me is if someone showed that to me. He's like, LMAO. Like, I'd vocalize the text words that I say as a placeholder
also,
in real life.
Also, that's all that is a symbol of like, yeah, I do cool shit during the week. You know what I'm saying? I'm so fucked up, I wore my pants inside out.
I don't even care about this.
Yeah, exactly. That's how much I care about work.
This is last on my to-do list.
I'm so much cooler than you. And I'd see that and I'd be like, damn, I got to give less of a fuck. That guy's really cool.
Totally.
So, but you were saying the story about coming out to your grandparents.
Oh, totally. So I was sitting in the back of their pickup truck. That's where it went awry. The pickup truck. So I was sitting in the back of their pickup truck and I was like, Grandma, Grandpa, there's something I have to tell you. I'm gay. And my grandma said, you know, the speech is like, that's all right, Beckett. Like, I could tell she felt disappointed a little bit, but she said very nice words. You know what I mean?
She was just like, you know.
But then my grandpa didn't say anything and nothing at all for like the entire car ride home. And I was talking to my grandma and I'm like, I don't know what happened. Do you think he heard me? She goes, yeah, I think he heard you. I just don't think he knows how to deal with this or like what to say or something.
This is while he's in the car?
Like we're out somewhere now, but like at a Barnes and Noble or something, whatever the fuck.
Right,
then I like it hurt. It felt like weird. And I was like so uncomfortable because I was like, he didn't address it. And I feel shitty. And then my grandma texts me, he actually did not hear that I had come out. He actually did not hear it. His hearing aid was off.
You get a freebie.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do it again.
You get to
judge the room and do it again.
But then he found out and he was okay with it. And he never said directly that he's okay with me being gay. But he one time told me just like a long rambling story about freedom.
Yeah.
He was like,
I mean, what was World War II about? If you can't stick it wherever you want, son. All right. My grandpappy died.
Absolutely.
For some goddamn freedom. If you want to take it, if two eagles love each other. I mean, who do I have a right to stop between?
That,
you know?
that. And he's
you
like,
know?
He's like,
if I could fuck George Washington, I would. I'm gay for one thing, and it's Uncle Sam. So you and I have that in common.
It was very that. I could tell exactly what he meant. But he just never outright said any details of like, I love you even though you're gay, but that was more the feel, you know?
Right. It was a vibe.
Yeah.
It was a hard acceptance vibe.
He was like truly like gun toting, shooting, rough, tough guy, big. He's huge.
He just didn't know how to tell you that he's always been gay. He's just this big guy, he loves burly men, guns. And as soon as he said that, he's just silent, thinking about, you know, his high school sweetheart.
Maybe this is just, and I feel like this maybe is more a rural thing, but have you noticed that like your grandparents have definitely killed someone or something in their life?
I think
like,
this is it definitely feels like, this is definitely a rural thing because my grand I don't feel that about my grandparents at all.
Okay, I definitely know that my grandparents, like the way that my grandma casually treats animals dying. And it's not like she's not like she's not like cruel to animals
she's
anyway,
just,
but
she's just sort of like, well, they died.
They died. They died.
Yeah, yeah. And like, that's just like a lot of people, it's like that's a heartbreaking, heart-wrenching day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then for her, she's like, yeah, it's Tuesday and the cat we've had for 18 years is dead.
Right, right. Yeah. Very that. And well, not even the cat thing, but just like she'll be like, I accidentally snapped this snake's neck.
Well, that's kind of crazy.
She it was like in the garden. This is really not that interesting, but it's a lot of stories like this where you're like, you're kind of desensitized
to just
murdering these things that it's like for me are very hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've never had.
Well, she's super old, which maybe she's from like the Great Depression, and it's like you gotta crack some chickens to feed your family.
Or exactly. Very yeah. That. No, yeah. Yeah. And I keep saying very that, and that's like Monique Hart from Drag Races.
I don't think our fan base will really pick up.
I know. I'm giving them a little history. I'm giving them a little culture, a little behind the scenes.
They love culture. They need.
Oh, they're all about it. I've sensed.
Yeah, 100%.
They're all putting their hands out to the screen and just going.
They should. They should for this app. You're goddamn right.
Absolutely no. We need the people clapping.
So I remember we were pretty drunk at the bar, Beckett, right? And you said that you were very popular in high school. And I want to know what that's like.
What a psychotic thing.
You've actually said that multiple times.
And I'm interested. I wasn't
popular
in
high school either.
That's dark. That's dark. So when I say popular, I just mean generally well-liked and well-known.
Okay. Yeah, that's what popular means.
That's generally how I meant it too.
My freshman year,
you're like the coolest guy in that. Like you're a dude who can dance, is funny and sensitive. Like,
yeah,
you are murking. I know it's not a small town, but you're murking the average dude in Peoria, right?
I don't want to say anything bad about my Peoria people.
How did you rise to the top?
Yeah, but
you know, to the top.
I feel very talented. I am very talented. I very much believe in myself in ways.
That's why I'm trying to say you're. I'm not trying to shut up Peoria, but I just mean I feel like you were probably cooler than a lot of the other.
Yeah, I was pretty cool, but I wasn't like it wasn't like I was partying and having sex all the time.
No, I don't think you were doing that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I was just.
I don't imagine there was a roaring gay scene in Peoria High School.
No, just
not
a lot,
the one anyone knew about.
A handful of gay men that I was competitive with.
Yeah,
and one closeted gay man who I was deeply into, but did not like me at all.
That's got to be hurtful. Like the one other gay guy in the town, and he's like, no.
No.
You're like, sweet. Well, I got to. Sweet. It's kind of just you, me, and or the Bible. You, me, or some Ryan Gosling magazine.
Right, and I chose the Bible.
Yeah.
And no, but yeah. Yeah, that was. I was like just really involved, and I had like. Well, I was like bullied like my freshman year and shit, like people like who would, you know, kind of, you know, call me faggot and like post like commented on videos of me like dancing and like my freshman year like dance. I did a dance, one of those dances where, you know, people form a circle around you.
Aww.
You know what I mean? When you're just kind of good on a dance floor.
Yes.
And.
Yes.
And
yes.
Oh, you do because you're a good dancer.
Things I've. Yeah. I, oh,
wait,
oh.
People. Nick has danced and people have.
Oh yeah,
swarm a circle around.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, it's happened.
That's crazy.
It's happened before.
I literally cannot imagine
that. I'm a pretty good dancer. Beckett's seen it.
He's a good dancer.
Me and him.
Is he a good dancer or is Nick just a drunk?
I think it's a little bit of both.
good dancing is 90% confidence.
Yeah,
90%.
Great dancing really is something else. Good dancing is 90% confidence.
Very That's very true.
And Nick's definitely got that 90% when he's got about 90% proof in him. So.
Yeah. I mean, like, so. I get down, you know what I'm saying? And I used to get down
totally
in high school. And sometimes there would be, I mean, I wouldn't say a big circle. And it wasn't a long circle either. It'd be a circle that would start. And then
the circle shouldn't be long.
And then
I don't think.
Somebody better would hop in and I'd cool out. You know,
you'd
totally,
be like,
totally,
it's
totally.
Time to go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my thing is nobody better was going to come in.
Right.
Well, no, it's Peoria. You know what I'm saying?
I went hard though. I went hard dancing, I would get made fun of for it for shit and like commented on. No, but it's whatever. That none of that
but
stuff bothers me
top,
as
dude.
Much.
Prom king.
But then, yes, I was prom king. I was
prom king as the gay man in a smaller
town. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
This is the ultimate indie movie of indie movies.
Well, it was.
You're talking about popular gay guy in high school. That he's in a pickup truck going to cosmetology school. This is great.
Well, and I won it with, it was me, a gay guy, and then a good friend of mine who she was a Muslim girl in a hijab.
Okay, so this isn't a small town. This is Richwood's, more progressive than Chicago.
No. But there are parts
y'all could have been.
Richwood's
this is a Democratic Party
very,
ticket.
Yes, we are like one of the small blue dots in very red central Illinois.
Okay, cool.
CI proud, as I like to call it.
Sweet.
Well,
that's super cool.
Yeah, but I will say on record that I can't live there. It is. There is a lot of darkness in that place, and I don't want to discount that either.
I refuse to step foot in the town I grew up
in. It's dark. It's dark.
Also, if you go from like Chicago to Philly, and in between, there are a lot of cities that are just kind of like strip malls and Buffalo Wild Wings. Is that kind of the vibe of Peoria? Like, it's just kind of chain restaurants and like.
There is a golf course. There's a college.
That's okay. All right.
No, so there's a college. There's a golf course. There's a community college.
Hell yeah.
There's three high schools. There's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not a small town.
Those are all like government mandated things. You just like schools.
It's not an exciting town. No. It's not an exciting town. It used to be Richard Pryor's from there.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, that's right.
Sam Kinison, Richard Pryor.
Yeah, known for his great childhood.
Yeah,
he often talks about his great childhood in Peoria, Illinois.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's great. I remember before the podcast, you were talking about that someone told your dad that he walked like you, and he got really weird about it.
Yes, I think I said that on another podcast.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about my dad really that much at all, but I was like, this is going to be my make my dad look good podcast. But one time, truly, I give people a little leeway.
Yeah.
My dad, like 97% of the time is at least kind enough and like empathetic enough and like gentle enough to like say the right thing. He really is a sweet guy, but, one time he got really pissed off that somebody said I walked like him.
Right.
Which that's
such a dad.
That's such
like,
a.
No, I don't. I walk straight.
Yeah. And that did make me cry.
Yeah.
But I can cry over anything. Oh,
Are you an only child?
Yeah.
Okay, that explains a lot.
Wow. How does it explain a lot?
Just when you were like, I'm killing this role right now. It's like, if there was nobody around growing up, I'd think I'm the shit all the time too. There's no other, there's no competition. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's nobody to cut the attention a little bit. It's literally two eyes. Of course you need an audience. You've had an audience your whole life.
That's not true. What you just said is not true. You think I'd be here if I got attention my whole life?
Yeah, I don't know. I was just kind of riffing. I was joking.
Oh, no, it was a funny joke. I wasn't pissed about it either. Yeah. I'm funny because of it. But, I mean, listen, there are better ways to grow up than to be funny. There are better things to be than to end up funny. Okay?
For sure.
Yeah, that's true.
The only child. That's a lot of attention. Do you feel like, or maybe it wasn't.
Okay, so, well, it's like a combination of a lot of attention and not a lot of attention in a lot of ways. Just in certain ways, I was not that paid attention to.
Oh, interesting.
But then in a lot of ways, I was very deeply paid attention to.
Okay.
I don't know how to explain that. Well, I don't want to go into depth about it too much.
Yeah, we got you. Well, yeah. It's a nuanced man. But yeah, the
walk. Honey, I got new ones. I drove a tractor to cosmetology school.
Boy, that should be. That's the new slogan of the Democratic Party right there.
Yeah,
just a gay man riding a tractor to cosmetology school.
Absolutely.
Can you run for state candidate? You run for governor of Illinois with that one?
Yeah, I'm Joe Biden.
You in drag driving a tractor to cosmetology school.
I've seen that on a billboard.
Yeah, I want America that works for everybody. Just as you're like banding your nails behind a tractor.
I think absolutely. That's.
What do you think you would do if you were a governor? If you were elected governor, what would be the first thing you did?
I don't know, because I don't know what the fuck governors do.
I don't know what they do either. But let's just say it's king of Chicago. Let's just say that whatever that position. What's the first thing you do?
The first thing I would do,
yeah,
as king of Chicago.
Yeah, you're the king now. Anything goes.
Emperor.
I would just have a big party. Just a huge party.
Like, yeah,
and I'd invite everyone to it.
Even the
gay people. I would invite every single person.
Be a little weird if you
That'd be a trap if you did it.
I would even invite
straight people come to City Hall.
You're gonna gas us.
Right, right. No, I'd even invite the poor people.
Yeah, it's a Buffalo Wild Wings. We got a special going on. We're just trapped in there. when are the wings coming out? Gas comes in. Please let us out.
Absolutely,
just you and all of our girlfriends standing outside watching us.
God bless America.
Yes.
Yeah. If I was governor. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of. That's true. I'll commit to it though. I would throw a big party. That'd be fun. You know why? Because that'd be fucking fun. And the best part about Chicago is the street parties.
Yes, that's true.
It's a good time.
Street parties are great.
Because you're not supposed to be there.
Yeah, it's the street. Yeah. Oh, you better not get your ball from there, kid. You'll get run over by a car.
Whose voice is that? What
I'm
is
in
that?
The street.
What creature
I'm
is
doing
that?
Shot.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Well,
it's like the clown from It, just partying on the street.
Hey, everybody. Oh, it does sound like the clown from It.
Yep.
Do you have anything you want to plug before we head out?
Okay, I'm so glad this is almost ending, just because I have to pee.
Yeah.
I have had to pee. I peed twice in this room. They have a bidet. Nick has a bidet.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah,
God bless America.
Feel free to take that for a whirl, by the way.
I went to Japan once.
Uh-huh.
And
great nation.
The bidets. That's the thing I brought back to America in my mind. The most. I was like, holy shit, we're so behind.
It's so funny. My girlfriend, the first time she used that, she was like, oh, it's great. And she was like, who uses it on full? And I kind of chuckled. I was like, yeah, what kind of creep uses it on full? I sit on there. Dude, it's full blast, bro.
Absolutely.
You got a fire hose.
Yeah, dude. I fucking blast my asshole with that.
Clean it up. Clean it up, babe.
Feels great. Looks great.
Bidets. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Bidets.
One day.
Bidets.
No, they.
When she won't put it up.
Your butt.
We will.
Your butthole feels better.
Yeah.
You feel better.
Because your butthole feels better.
Bada bing.
Butthole soul connected. But anyway, back.
Sorry.
You want anything to plug?
Oh, yes. So I follow me on Instagram at BucketKenny. God bless America. I also run a show at the Laugh Factory. If you're in Chicago, Illinois, the great state of Chicago. Yes, I said state.
Yeah. That's
God bless America. If you're ever in this great town of Chicago, come see Sashay every last Friday of the month at 11:30. Please come. It does well. It's a good show. It gets sells out, so I'm not like desperate, but it's like it would be great.
But like,
if you did come
hang.
Yeah,
come
totally,
hang.
Totally.
Totally come hang. Fun show.
Come hang out at the Lincoln Lodge. They got
comedy shows.
I'll do a backflip.
Every night of the week. Got comedy shows going on. We got to run to the Patreon, so we got to close up.
Yeah.
If you want to hear what comes next, $3 a month.
Woo! So.